Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
I want to show you what God's priority system for transformation is. God's priority system for transformation. That's not the topic, but this is just to add as an introduction. Because when you talk about nation building, you must see these three things as important and core for what God would have you do to benefiting and blessing the nation. Now, according to God, in His value system, what comes first is kingdom advancement. I want you to say that with me. Say kingdom advancement. And number two, personal transformation. And number three, national transformation. So, in the priority system of God, what He holds as most valuable is the first, which is kingdom advancement. Personal transformation is key. National transformation is key. But the two of them must be to work towards kingdom advancement. A lot of people are stuck with either number two or number three. And when you are that, it means you need a reorientation, because we're a people of faith. You're not just an ordinary person. You're not just an individual, but you are a believer. And you must know, in the scheme of things for God, His primary role and assignment for you as an individual is to advance His kingdom. And I want you to know that everybody is a part of kingdom advancement. As long as you are alive, you have a role to play in kingdom advancement. And knowing that you have a role to play in kingdom advancement, it means that you have to personally go through transformation, and you also have to affect your community. When I talk about national transformation, I'm not just talking about the nation as regarding the geographical space of Nigeria, but I'm talking about national transformation as regarding your community or your sector, because a sector can be considered as a nation. Aya, can you help my volume just a little bit more? The sector can be considered as a nation. For example, the sector of politics and governance, that's a nation. The sector of religion is a nation. The sector of business and industry, it's a nation in itself. So when we say national transformation, we're not just talking about the entirety of the geographical space of Nigeria, but where God has placed you in your sector or in your local community, that's your sector. So it has to follow that your personal transformation, national transformation, must keep in view kingdom advancement. And God's priority strategic plan for transformation is number one. But a lot of believers forget that number one is the point. I'll give you an example. Jesus, before He would advance the kingdom, you saw Him personally transform. The Bible speaks in Luke chapter 2 and verse 57 or so, or 52 or so, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and He found favor with God and with man. So you could see Jesus increasing, personally being transformed. But all of that transformation He had personally was for kingdom advancement. And you could also see Jesus involved in the nation, maybe not politically, but He was involved in the nation. Because you saw Jesus involved in communities. He was involved in groups. He was involved in families. So He had a level of national transformation in His days, even though not political, but it was evident. For example, Jesus healed all the sick. I don't think there was any health care facility that provided health care as much as Jesus did, because all kinds of diseases were brought to Jesus and He healed them all. He delivered the oppressed. He delivered people who had mental breakdowns. There was a woman who the Bible calls Mary Magdalene. She had about seven demons in her, And Jesus freed that woman. He even made statements like, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, it means the kingdom of God has come unto you. So people who had mental illness, he delivered them. He was the best psychiatrist in his days. He offered the best medical services in his days. And he would not collect a penny. And that's how Jesus was. So you could see national transformation. You could see family transformation. He restored peace to families. He brought sanity to communities. He fed so many people. The biggest charity of his days, it was from Jesus. I don't know how many people could feed 5,000 people without going bankrupt, as long as you were an Israeli at the time of Jesus' days. Because the Israelis were under the colonization of the Romans. So I'm not sure anyone may have had the wherewithal to feed 5,000 people, but he did that in his days. He affected people who were in politics, even though he was not in politics. He met a man called Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was probably like a senator representing the Jews, but he was extorting people, and just one encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus made up his mind to return money back to people whom he had extorted from. So you could see how Jesus had a national involvement. He also had a personal transformation, national transformation. But all of those transformations were for kingdom advancement. Because he went from city to city preaching the gospel of the kingdom, establishing the will of God, saying the kingdom of God is at hand, and anyone who believes will come into the kingdom of God. So, if you're listening to me and you feel that your personal transformation, of which is mostly about your education, how you have developed yourself, your certifications, how valuable you have come, how influential and wealthy you have become, all of that is a means to an end. Talk to me, somebody. All of that is what? A means to an end for kingdom, what? Advancement. So let's say this together. God wants me. That's not all of us in the room. Let's say that again. Let's say God wants me to be a part of kingdom advancement. Say with me, say, I'll play my role. So God wants you to be a part of kingdom advancement. That's the point. That's the essence. And in the value chain of God's perspective to things, kingdom advancement comes first. Before personal development, before national transformation. When you say God is moving in a nation, your definition of God moving in a nation is very simple. What is kingdom advancement? It is simple. That men are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus. That's what it means. That people are getting saved every day. And by extension, the will of God is being manifest in the different spaces in your nation through you. So God is establishing righteousness, peace, and joy through you. You are establishing the will of God. That is what we say kingdom advancement means. That people are born again, people are saved, and His will is being done. Peace is restored to a community. Joy is restored to a community. Healing is given to a community. Deliverance is given to a community. And God's order of righteousness and order is being restored to a system. So that's what we say kingdom advancement. So all of these things that we're going to be doing, your influence, your affluence, your money, your positioning, your leadership, your diligence is for what? If you know what it is, come on, say it back to me. It's for what? So tell your neighbor what personal transformation and national transformation is all about. It is for what? Kingdom advancement. Hallelujah. So God's priority system is this. And I want to see believers who are not stuck in number two. Because you can have a drive to bless a community. You can have a drive to serve a community and not connect that drive to kingdom advancement. That's a problem. But God wants you to have a drive for your community, but at the same time, you are thinking the end game, which is kingdom advancement. God wants you to have a drive for your personal transformation, but at the same time, it is connected to kingdom advancement. So one must not overshadow the other. Because in God's priority system, the most important is what? Kingdom advancement. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And we defined what vision is. We said that vision is your ability to see beyond the eyes. That's what vision is. It's your ability to see beyond what your eyes can see. Your eyes see the problem, but vision see what it should be. Your eyes, your natural sight, shows you what the problems are. And you know, you cannot operate on the level of problems. Because someone has to be able to see beyond the problem. Vision is your ability to see the invisible and make the invisible possible. That's what vision is. Vision is your ability to see a destination in your purpose and a strategic plan in your purpose. It is also your perspective to how you see. That's vision. God wants people. You see, God will give you a plan, or he will give you a purpose. But many times you would have to lift your eyes to see, because God may not be able to lift your eyes for you. He would show you where you are to go. He would tell you this is what he has called you to do. But you would lift your perspective up and you begin to see things on the scale that he's showing you. It takes vision to do that. Let me tell you what makes ordinary people become exceptional. Vision. Vision. An ordinary man becomes exceptional because he has vision. An ordinary woman becomes exceptional because she has vision. The difference between people who will be stuck in their past or who will be progressive tomorrow is vision. And I see people who are going to see things the way God wants them to see things. Because in the next few years, let me tell you something. Vision can compress time for you that you recover so much you have lost in the past. That's what vision does. But how far can you see? How well can you see? And that's what God wants you to do. So I'm going to show you a few elements. We started with some. I think it was 2 weeks ago we started, and probably we'll finish today. But before I do that, let me also say that God gives private and corporate visions to individuals. God gives private and corporate corporate visions to individuals. What do I mean? God will give one man a vision, and that man can receive that vision as a private vision, meaning it is about him. It is pertaining to his life. But God can also give a corporate vision to a man, and people, a group of people, are meant to benefit from that vision. I've hardly seen in the Bible where God gives a group of people a vision. I've hardly seen that in the scripture. So usually, a vision is given by one man, whether it is private or corporate. But if it is private, it is mostly personal. But if it is corporate, even though it is given to one man, God has already preordained runners of the vision. So that in the collective picture of what God wants to achieve, one man receives the vision, but a group of people are running with the vision. So that's what you call a corporate vision. I'll give you an example of corporate visions. For example, in this house, God has given me the vision to lead people through the gospel and experience grace for dominion, and make you excellent and influential in your sector so you bring God's kingdom down. But I only cannot fulfill that vision. God is calling so many people to run with that vision. God gives Moses a vision, but it is millions of people who are beneficiaries of the vision, or who are runners with the vision. God gives Jesus a vision, and he says that your purpose is to bring deliverance and salvation to mankind. But that vision has to be sustained by 12 men. And 12 becomes 70. 70 becomes 120. So at the time Jesus is leaving and he's going up to heaven, 120 people within a space of 100 days have gotten over 5,000 to 6,000 converts filled with the Holy Ghost, because people who received the vision from Jesus were running with the vision. Now let me make this clear, that the fact that you are a runner of the vision and not a custodian of the vision doesn't make it less of yours. The fact that you are a part of a vision and not the visionary or not the visioneer doesn't mean that you cannot own the vision. Because owning the vision is a matter of playing your role as God has designed you to play. It is God who sets aside the runners, and it is God who also sets aside those who the vision is giving to. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, so that those who, what? Who read it will what? Run with it. So they are the runners of the vision, and they are those who are the writers of the vision. The runners of the vision are not less than the writers of the vision, or than the custodians of the vision. So, you can be a part of a global system, and that's where a lot of young people, or a lot of people, maybe not young people, everybody, a lot of people miss this, because you want to have your own vision. But God is saying, I've made you a part of something, and it is as significant as if it was your own. Because God wants, he has placed you in a place where he doesn't want you to struggle, and you are under pressure to develop your own vision because you hear the teaching of vision. Pastor Phil has said, vision. That means I must start something. Sometimes where God has kept you is a part of the core of why he has called you. And many times he keeps you in collaboration with people of which you and those people are a part of a big plan, a global plan that is working towards a collective goal. So when it comes to vision, there are corporate visions and there are also private visions. So whether you are the custodian of the vision, but as long as you are a part of the vision, God doesn't bless you less as one he blesses. In fact, he gives everybody rewards according to their faithfulness, not according to who received the vision or who did not. In fact, I've seen many situations where God would bless people who were a part of a vision more than the people to whom the vision was given to. Can I give you an example in the Bible? God gave Moses a vision, take the people to the promised land, or take the people out of Egypt. Moses didn't make it, but the people who he was to lead, some of them made it, but he didn't make it. What does that say to you? That you are the visionary, or you are the visionaire, or you are the visionary, doesn't mean you are qualified for a higher stake of blessing. It is about your faithfulness in the role where you stand. That's what it's about. There were 12 people only in the generation of Moses who believed that this land God had given them, they could take the land. It was those 12 people who eventually moved to the promised land. So, I don't know where you may fall in. God may have given you a global vision. I want you to know that he will bring runners your way. And at the same time, you can also be a part of a global vision. You also have to be committed to a global vision. Because all of these things are working to establishing God's perfect will for your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we said number one, elements of vision. We said number one, it will contrast your present reality. We said that already. God told the children of Israel that he would take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And when God was telling them, they didn't look like it. They didn't look like it. I don't know what God is saying you will be and you don't look like. Someone gave a prophecy about Nigeria that in a few years from now, Nigeria will become one of the most desired nations of the earth. I'm trying to decipher where are the doubters and where are the faith-filled believers. So let me say it again and I will study your response. that Nigeria will become one of the most desired nations of the earth. Can I speak to you? Don't let the hopelessness of your environment kill your shine. You must see your place. Are you please help me today? You must see your place and rise to the occasion. You must be able to rise to the occasion. So don't let the discouragement of your surrounding affect your light. Because how bright would you shine if the atmosphere of the surrounding is not dark? Your light shines brighter because everywhere is dark. And the Bible says that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. So you must take what God's word about you is. The Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon you. That's why we teach you Christ's reality. So that you understand your kingdom is not of this world. You see, that understanding already changes your orientation. You already know that your economy is not here. Some of you are asking me, Pastor Phil, how do you explain that? No. How do you explain that? Because I get paid a salary and it is structured. You have not tried God yet. Have you tried to live by faith before? Have you learned what it means to live by faith before? Where your dependency is not on anybody, but solely on God. And you see how God truly provides. And how God creates an economy just around you because you put faith in him and you follow his leading. There were so many people in the Bible God did it for. Isaac, under falling economies. People were leaving, but God told Isaac, stay in this land because I will show you where the milk is in the land. He says, I will give you riches of hidden places. These things are real. When the Lord leads you by himself to profit, is beyond what a man can do. So I want your faith in God to be anchored in what only God can do, not the state of the nation. So that's why you and I have to rise. Tell your neighbor, say, we have to rise. So he says, I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. He contrasted their present reality. I don't know what God has told you, but what he has told you will definitely not look like where you are right now. I can assure you. And that's a sign, it's a vision from God. Number two, we said, it will challenge your status quo. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. Vision will challenge your status quo. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him. Somebody say wine was before him. That I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. I want you to get a good picture of what is going on here. This is a man called Nehemiah in the Bible. Nehemiah was one of the Jews taken under captivity, serving a Persian king. And not all the Jews were privileged to be before the king. So I want you to see that there was a level of comfort that Nehemiah had. Nehemiah was not poor. No, from what I read here, for you to serve the king, it means you're comfortable. In fact, when you read further, you will see that the king had a personal relationship with Nehemiah. It's just like saying right now in today's economy or today's picture that you have a good rapport with the president of the country. You have a good rapport. You have access to power or access to government house. That's how influential you are. So this guy was comfortable. But when we say vision will challenge your status quo, we're saying that vision will take you out of your comfort zone. Because if you are going to be a man or a woman of vision, you cannot choose comfort as against what you are meant to do and be. Sometimes what you are meant to do and be will push you out of your comfort zone and you will come into a lot of conflict with people who you may come in contact with or things that you are not used to yourself. That's why I said, if I let me put this very clearly out there, that there are two things that are constant in life and they will never stop. The first one is you cannot affect time. You cannot affect change. These two things must be there. Time and change. But how a man or a woman deals with time and change determines the kind of outcome the man or woman is going to have. Because time will have an effect on you. And change is surely, it must come. But how are you able to navigate time and change? These are the things that makes you a visionary. That you are able to deal with change and time. So, it is important that everybody must know that from one season, you may be comfortable. But when the next season comes, you will need to break out of comfort. When they say a pregnant woman has come to full term, what are they saying? They are indirectly telling you that the baby in her womb, how we define term, according to the books medically, is the baby is at least there for 37 completed weeks. And then you can say the woman is full term. By the time the baby is in there, the baby has outgrown the amniotic space of the mother's womb. And the baby wants to come out. The moment the baby comes out is a different world entirely. But you know what many of us like to do? We like to stay with what we know, what we are used to. You cannot deliver a mandate that way. Sometimes you may need to be pushed out of comfort. In fact, you will need to be pushed out of comfort many times. Because vision is going to require sacrifice from you. And you know, I told you before that the level of your sacrifice determines the level of the people who follow you. In fact, the level of your sacrifice determines the level of impact you would make and become. The man you're going to become is going to be based on the level of your sacrifice today. So people who run away from sacrifice or from pressure may not be able to deliver greatness. It's a given. So it will push you out of your comfort zone. I hope you know that Nehemiah, if he decided to stay back at the king's court, nobody would arrest him for it. But we would never have seen his name in history book. The reason why Nehemiah comes out in the annals of history is because he decided to go out of his comfort zone. So some of you are going to break out from certain things that you have been used to. And you will step into the things that God... Because vision requires faith. You have to believe that God has given you what it takes to weather the storm. You know, you cannot always be pampered and always be spoon-fed all the time when it comes to your own destiny. There was a time for that where your parents, where your friends, everybody said things to comfort you. You were in the best of place because you had support system around you. A time is going to come where you be alone and without support system. And you have to make decisions by yourself because you have a destiny to deliver. So God wants you to leave your comfort zone and coming to the place of greatness. When I was starting ministry, my father intentionally stayed away from help because he wanted me to bring out what I had inside. I mean, have you seen mothers who have children? A child is going through his developmental stages or phase in growth. You want to carry the child all the time. You don't want the child to walk. You're always careful. The child is about to walk. You're apprehensive about the child walking. Anxiety just finishes you every time. The moment your child is about to take a step, you just carry the child. Many of us have been carried for too long. And that's why you don't know how to stand right now. But you must break out of comfort zones. That's what Nehemiah did. This guy was getting a paycheck. He was getting a salary. Please, I want you to hear in between the lines, because Pastor Phil is not saying leave your job. If God did not say leave your job. But I want you to know that there is a level of sacrifice that will push you out of your comfort zone. If not, you cannot deliver greatness. And a lot of young people, many of us are lazy. Lazy by virtue of association and lazy by virtue of a lack of vision. Lazy. So we need to wake up. Help me tell your neighbor, tap 2-3 people around you, say, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I feel the house literally needs to wake up right now because you guys are a bit cold this morning. Are you feeling sad because it's Nigeria's Independence Day or what is it? Aren't you excited about it? All right, so tell your neighbor again, say, wake up. And tell another neighbor, say, get out of your comfort zone. If you always need a support system to live, you have not grown. I'm not saying support system will not be there. Support systems like family, like good friends are important. But if you always need encouragement to be who you should be, you cannot deliver greatness. If you always need to be told on how to be, you cannot deliver a great mandate. It's not possible. Because greatness is not for everybody. But if you choose to be great, you will have to leave your comfort zone. I know you are a prince and they worshipped you in your house. Your father told you how awesome you were. You had maids who served you. You had people who knocked at your door. It's lunchtime. You had people who told you, can I have your laundry? And they packaged your laundry when they were done and handed them over to you. You had drivers who took you to school. But if you stay in that level of comfort and you don't develop the sacrifice like your dad who gave you that level of comfort, you will waste and squander the greatness that you come into. I told you sometime before, I said, that tough times produce great men. And many times, mark my words, many times, not all the time, many times great men produce weak children. The reason is because the tough times were there to weather and to bring out everything in the man. And the man, through tough times, became who he was. And he gives birth to children who come into affluence, but because they are not willing to pay the sacrifices or learn the things they are supposed to learn. Look at Jesus. The Bible says he learned obedience. He was the Son of God. But he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So my dad had to stay away. He says, Phil, bring out what is in you. No support. If God has called you, let it speak. You know, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Even though it tarries, it will not tarry. What an opposite conversation. Two separate conversations in one statement. Even though it tarries, it will not tarry. But he goes on to say that the vision will speak. Listen, you will not speak, it's the vision that will speak. But how well are you embodied with the vision? So God is calling you to get out of your comfort zone. I know you are a princess. You were worshipped when you were growing up. But now it's time for you to get your hands to work. You know, I appreciate people who know how to provide value. Because if you can bring out value, it means you will never be poor. One of the ways to teach your children how not to be poor is to teach them values from when they're growing up. Some of those things we had to learn. We grew up having drivers in the house. We grew up having people who did all kinds of things for us in the house. But I had to learn some of these things outside the house. I learned it the hard way sometimes. And some of you, your story is the same. Some of you, you started learning it from small. But whichever the case is, you must make sure you come to the place of resilience. The place where you are able to stand the storm. Not see the storm and run away. Not see hardship and flee. So God has called me to deliver a mandate, and it will challenge my status quo. Show me a man who is still comfortable. That's a man who has lost vision. Should we run? Because I wonder what kind of ringtone that is. TSP, please hear me. Your achievements should not become your status quo. Every level of success is a step higher for the next. When God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, have dominion over the earth. To replenish the earth means that you are constantly giving back. Replenish. Replenish. So that once there is a demand of and from you, you are still able to supply. But not everybody has the competence to supply 4 times in a year. Some people supply once and they are done for the year. It's capacity. It's because you haven't left a comfort zone yet. To train yourself how to deal when it comes to meeting demands that are beyond you is capacity. I give you an example of Jesus, how he was exhausted. He had done a crusade. And then he told his disciples, go buy food for me. On their way back after they brought the food, they met Jesus still doing work. They're like, how is this man still awake? He's replenished. Replenish the earth. God has called you to do something, and the moment one achievement comes, it shuts down your creativity. No. One achievement is a step higher for the next. Don't let your achievements become your prison. In fact, don't be stuck by yesterday's achievement. There was a man, we used to call him back then when we were in school, in our days. He was an elderly man. But you know why we called him in our days? Because every conversation this man has in our days, if he doesn't put in our days inside that conversation, he has not said anything. In our days. May you not be an in our days person. Where the only testimony you have is past victories. There is something God wants you to do now. Imagine if David had stopped with killing the lion and the bear. And his life's accolade and his life's achievement was capped with killing the lion and the bear. And he did not see that there could be more. In fact, the fact that you are able to do it and accomplish something yesterday is a pointer that today more can come and you can do better. So every achievement is a step higher for the next. You do big stuff yesterday, plan for bigger stuff tomorrow. You do great things yesterday, plan for greater things tomorrow. Because greater things will come your way. But don't be stuck in celebrations of yesterday. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number 3, vision will incubate the future. Vision will incubate the future. It means that you get the future before you release the future. That's what it means. You receive the vision, you receive the future before you release the future. Let me tell you how you know visionaries. You would know a visionary when he's always talking about the vision. Because people may not be able to explain the vision, but he can explain it. It's like a pregnant woman. The woman has the baby, but you don't see the baby, but she has it. And when she has the baby, you know the baby begins to grow. There is a time where you cannot see anything. But there is a time where you begin to see the bump in her from her abdomen. It means that when you incubate the future, You are one with the future. It's like a telescope. That you are able to bring the future so close that the future has become one with you. The baby begins to grow in you. The future begins to grow in you. People can now see it. You have it before others have it. So you have the future before you release the future. It is in your spirit. It is clear in your heart. And anybody who comes in touch with you can know this woman is pregnant with something. Please, when I mean pregnant, I'm not talking about physical pregnancy. This man is carrying something. You can tell. Great people many times can recognize great people. You know, when Mary met Elizabeth, the Bible says that the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped because there was something inside of her that felt a connection with Jesus who was in the womb of Mary. So God wants you to carry your destiny. And my prayer for you, oh Kadiba, my prayer for you is that you would not have a stillbirth. You would deliver and you would give birth to a bouncing future that God wants your generation to experience. And it also means that you experience the future before every other person experiences it. So you are communicating what you know. You are communicating what you are in touch with. It incubates the future. That's what vision is. In fact, many times when you start talking about your vision, many people cannot really understand what you're saying. You have to say it over and over again. Because this thing has become one with you. For some people, it's going to take time for them to catch it. But that's okay. Somebody say hallelujah. The vision has to grow in you before it grows in people. It has to be strong in your spirit. Ooh. Some people don't have a growing vision. They have a lost passion. They once had a vision before that never grew, and then the conviction died over the years. There were some of you who wrote down certain things, this is what I want to do at the age of 25, at the age of 26, at the age of 30. And just because one or two things have not panned out yet, you have lost conviction. You don't give up on vision. Because even if it tarries, it will not tarry. It will surely speak. That's the thing about vision. Am I talking to people this morning? You can't be walking with an empty womb. You know what that means? You cannot be walking around not carrying something in your spirit. There must be something you carry in your spirit. And that's where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. So vision will incubate the future. In fact, many times I call vision a hope factor. Because you might not see what you want in a certain, but your ability to create what you want is the hope factor there. So vision is a hope factor. Vision brings the invisible into the realm of possibility. So it's a hope factor. You know, there are a lot of people who don't know how to experience what they want because what they want is not in reality. But you know what you want. Why don't you see through what you want and bring to pass what you want? That's what it means to have a vision or to be a visionary. But if you stay at the level of complacency or complaining, you know what you want, but what you see is not what you want. You must be able to infuse hope. And this is the reason why most visionaries are leaders by virtue of being a visionary. Because a visionary naturally is after what he wants that is not yet in existence. So when he goes about in bringing to reality what he wants, people naturally will follow that person. So visionaries are leaders, most likely. In fact, many leaders don't become leaders because they want to be leaders. They become leaders by virtue of what they see they need to do, a value system they need to establish or bring into reality. By virtue of that, they become leaders. people just naturally begin to follow them. Because not everybody can see. You get two eyes, no means say you sabi see. In fact, yours might be big. Mine is not even big at all. I was thinking, I saw a picture of myself, and I was trying very hard to open my eyes. And when I looked at the picture, I said, Phil, is this how far you can go? But your eyes don't mean vision. Vision comes from the heart. What do you see in your heart? And it is what you see that as you go after, it begins to produce followership. So you naturally become a leader when you have vision. So vision will incubate the future. We also said on Sunday, number four, that vision will attract resources to you. We established that on Sunday. I don't like when I hear excuses. I have a great plan, but there is no money. That's not an excuse. Vision will attract resources to you. It will bring resources. Vision is attracted to projects. It's attracted, as long as your vision is bona fide, it is when you have vision, you will realize that there has been money around you all along. You see that it's easier to attract resources being a man or a woman of vision rather than begging. Because people love to connect with vision. People love to connect with... Are you following me? People love to connect with a value system that is to be established. People love to connect with it. Resources will naturally flow in that direction. Let me put it this way. Whatever you can see has already been pre-done. As long as you can see it, God has already created. You are not the one creating the future. All you are doing is seeing the future. It is not your seeing the future that creates the future. It is your seeing the future that makes you experience the future. But the future is already created. And hear this. As much as the future has been created, God has also created people along your path and journey who would run with what He has given you. So those people are around you. Don't think the people around you are poor. There's just something in you that has not yet caught their attention to pull resources from them yet. So God has given you a mandate, but that mandate will attract resources. So let not, I don't have money, be your obstacle. Keep running with a vision. Those who will read it will run with it. If people are not running with your vision, the problem might be you. Most likely is you. Because God's word does not fail. If this is a principle that works for unbelievers, how much more believers? Because it says, write the vision, make it plain, so that those who read it will run with it. It is possible that your vision is not plain enough. We'll come into that maybe when we come into transaction and economy. So number four, it will attract resources to you. And number five, we'll stop here for today. Vision will keep you focused. Vision will keep you focused. I want you to get me the scripture, without vision, the people perish. Get me that scripture. Another translation says, without vision, the people cast off restraint. That's what it says. The Bible says that without vision, the people cast off restraint. What is a restraint? A restraint is like a structure. Think about a tunnel that is channeling water from one destination to another. And that tunnel is like a restraint that keeps the water in focus. So vision helps you move in one direction so that your energy is not dissipated. Can I say this to all of you? You are not called to do everything. You are not called to do everything. The day I found this truth out, I became free and simplified in my life. In fact, vision will simplify your life. Because if you are a man or a woman of too many alternatives, You may not be able to deliver vision. You're not called to do everything. I've not seen any animal that wants to be like another. Think about a cow that wants to be like a bird. First of all, the weight of the cow, you can't even fly. Think about a fish that lives outside of water. Animals don't try to be like one another, like the other. It's only human beings that try to be like. That's why we have jacks. Jack of all trade, master of none. You're called to do one thing. Except your dog is called Jack. You're called to do one thing. And many times, the few things that surround the one thing, did you hear what I just said? Did you understand what I just said? Because God can give you a gift, but in the administration of that gift, there will be other surrounding gifts to support that one gift. So when I say one thing, I'm not talking about being stereotype. No. I'm talking about delivering a focus with a strong, delivering a mandate with a strong focus. You're giving a strong punch to life. There are a lot of busy-bodied people who can never be great because they are everywhere. So you're not called to do everything. Dr. Mike Murdock, one of the great preachers, he made a statement. He said, I have only black suits. And the reason why I have black suits is because I don't like to waste time trying to choose what suit to wear. It simplifies my options. So all his suits are black suits. But you know, if you have so many colors, you will likely be spending time, what color should I wear today? What color do I wear tomorrow? You are taking 6 hours just to get ready. Because you have to choose what color to wear. In fact, some people don't come to church because they don't have what to wear. Not that they don't have clothes, but they have not made up their minds to choose what to wear. That's why they didn't come. You see how complex their lives are. People go late for appointment because they have to choose what to wear. Simplify your life. Vision will simplify your life. You see, with vision, you will not go everywhere. With vision, you will not do everything. You'll be able to tell what is for you and what is not for you. It gives you a ready answer from the start. Vision, that's what it does. So it says, where there is no vision, use the King James Version. Use the New King James, let me see. Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So restraint is what holds you together. That's what vision does. So vision keeps you focused. And God wants you to be a man, a woman of focus. Not a man who is dissipating energy here and there. You know, Jesus knew how to withdraw himself. And after he's withdrawn from people, he will come back to deliver a mandate. Because he was focused about his mission. There was a time they were worshiping Jesus and they wanted him to become like a political head. He stylishly dodged that responsibility. It's not every responsibility you take. You must take responsibilities that are connected to your vision. In fact, let me put it this way. Your activities in the day, 90% of them should be at least connected to why you were born. Because vision is what gives birth to your activities. You're going on recreation, for example. Recreation or rest is tied to your purpose. Because you need to rest your body for the work. You're going on medical checks because you need to have that for the work. You're not engaging on every kind of WhatsApp group Because you need to be focused for the work. Are you with me, people of God? So God wants you to have a strong sense of focus. Because if you are focused, you will deliver vision. I just remembered a worry proverb. It said, peace will scatter, not a dig hole. I'm sorry. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Life is complicated when you have too many alternatives. Oh. Simplify your life. Get a vision. The word dominion is the word mastery. And mastery means that you become a master of something. It takes focus to be that. There must be one thing people are looking for you for. There must be one thing you know how to do so well that people look for you on that thing. If you are not a master of something, you will not be sought after. It's not rocket science. If you develop mastery, somebody say mastery. Yeah. If you develop mastery for something, people will look for you. So be focused. Be focused. Stay with something. Develop yourself in it. Grow in it. Be the best in what you do. And let me tell you, people are attracted to value. They will find you. Say amen.
Amen.
So God wants you to be focused. God wants your life to be simple. God wants you to be less complicated in life. It's not everything you are called to do. Stay with what you are called to do. Some things God might pass you through, certain things for a season. But you should know what is seasonal in your life and what is permanent in your life. Are you with me, somebody? There were certain things that I did when I was growing up to where I am today that may not have a strong bearing with what I'm doing today, but I knew those things were seasonal. But there are some other things that you know, this is permanent. This would always be with me. So you know when to drop one and you know when to move to the next. Just imagine if Jesus said to himself, I really enjoy being a master who does good, the rabbi who does good, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power and who went about doing good. I really enjoy doing good. If he stayed with that, he would have missed his mandate. Today you'll be celebrating the oldest living human being in the world, because Jesus will not be able to die. He'll be 2,000 years old because he has no sin in him. But you see, if he didn't choose to die, which was his mandate, which was the one thing, he says, for this cause was I born. If he didn't do that one thing, every of those good things he has done, all waste. So God wants you to focus on that one thing. I don't know what area of mastery God wants you to have, but that could be your door to kingdom advancement. That could be a door to your relevance and to your affluence. When you gain mastery in that level, the nations are looking for you. The world is going to look for you. And people are going to come to your rising. The scripture says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of God is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory shall be seen. It says, behold, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. The Gentiles will come to your righteousness. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. So kings are going to come after you. Potentates will come after you. See, as a man diligent in his work, he will stand before kings and greatness, not before mere men. If you are a fashion designer, be the best. If you are a chef, be the best. If you are a makeup artist, be the best. Don't design masquerades on people's faces. If you're an athlete, you put the work that is required to be the best. If you're a speaker, be the best. Learn how to talk in the public. Being a pastor requires speaking publicly. I had to learn how to speak publicly to be understood. Be the best. Grow in your craft. Grow in your stature. Grow in the thing that God has called you to be. If He's called you to be in governance, in politics, learn how to administrate. Be the best. If you need people's skill, go learn people's skill. Because you can be wealthy, but lose wealth because you don't know how to talk to people. Be the best. Develop yourself. Praise God, somebody. If you're a computer scientist or an IT person, be the best. Be sought after. Be looked for. Gain mastery in your craft. So I don't know what field you're in, but be the best. Don't be average. I hate average. I hate average with a passion. I don't know about you, but if you hate average like I hate average, you must fight average in your life. Get out of your comfort zone. Be focused. Deliver the greatness that God has called you to deliver. And you will see that men will come to your rising. Nations will come to your rising. I don't know if I'm talking to people right now in this place. I want you to be the best. And you have heard a word today. And all of these things are for the sakes of kingdom advancement. He doesn't want you to have personal transformation, national transformation, without kingdom advancement in view. Because if you don't get that, you need reorientation. You need reorientation. Praise God, somebody. So I want you to bow your heads down and make sure you're touching someone by the side and just begin to pray for yourself and pray for the neighbor whose hands you're holding, that the Lord will keep and the Lord will strengthen you. He will give you the ability to gain dominion, the ability to gain mastery in life, the ability to be who God wants you to be. He will give you all the wherewithal, all that it takes to exercise your dominion here on the earth. God will give you a strength that no man can gainsay, a wisdom that no one can gainsay. Open your mouth and begin to pray for yourself, please. And pray for your brother. That which is inside of you will pop out in the name of Jesus. That which is in your spirit will be released in the name of Jesus. God has given you a bona fide vision. And that vision is for the world. He's given you a global assignment. But it's going to take a level of mastery to come to that level of influence, to be a leading influence in the current generation, establishing the excellence of God's kingdom in all sectors through spirit-inspired leadership, that God will give you grace, what it takes to lead a generation. Many people are tied to your obedience. Many people are tied to your sacrifice. You cannot be comfortable. You cannot look at your achievements and be capped by your achievements. It's time to move to the next. It's time to trust God for bigger things. It's time to press on for further experiences in God. Greater dimensions of His will. Greater dimensions of seasons in your life that are ahead of you. It's time to press towards the prize for the mark of the high calling in Christ. It's time for you to press into the perfect will of God for your life. That you stand perfect and complete in all His will for your life. That you're not lacking in anything. You're not wanting in anything. Lift your voice, TSP, and pray. Because you must find your place in the nation. Now lose your hands and lay your hands on your belly and pray for yourself. That you must find your place in the nation. In the delivering of the value system God has collectively for Nigeria. That you take your place. You rise as a kingdom citizen, as a double agent. In the area where God has called you, you will not be a mediocre. You will not be average. You will not be ordinary. But you will move from ordinary to exceptional. You will move from ordinary to extraordinary. Because you have the Holy Ghost in you. If you're passionate about this, I want you to pray. Because I know there are people who bear witness with me right now as I'm talking. Because you have a global destiny. You have a global mandate. So in the name of Jesus, I come against every mental laziness. I come against every spiritual lethargy. I come against every complacency. I come against every stagnation. I come against every discouragement, every setback, and I release you into possibility. I release you into progress. I open up your mind into what God can do and what He alone can do. I open up your spirit into the will of God. I open up your eyes to see grace. I open up your spirit to see the glory of God. Forget the former things of old and welcome to the new things. For behold, I will do a new thing, says the Lord. Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not see it? It will surely come to pass. I decree upon you, women in the house. Women in the house, I decree upon you, your healing has come speedily. I decree upon you, there is grace for possibility. I decree upon you, there is wisdom to navigate. All the men in the house, I release upon you wisdom. I release upon you grace. I release upon you supernatural connectivity. Connections. I release upon you all that it takes for God to do what He has called you to do. I release upon you every single iota of faith that you need for the next level. Who's receiving what I'm saying right now? I'm speaking to the next 5 years of your life. You will not be the same. I don't know who is receiving that. I said you will not be the same. You will look over 1 year and you will see a remarkable change in your life. You will see a remarkable difference in your life. Your business will change. Your nation will change because of you. You become a man or woman of influence. Your money will change. Your relationships will change. Your circles will change. You will come to high network individuals. God will connect you with those who you need to know. You will stand before kings. You will stand before greatness. You will dine with presidents. You will dine before senators. You will dine before power. I release upon you wisdom. I release upon you grace. Somebody shout amen if you release it. If you believe it, shout amen again. I release that you will do well. You will not be a mediocre. You will not be ordinary. You will not be mediocre. You will not be ordinary. You will be exceptional, extraordinary, a leader, a visionary. Greatness is on your side. Power is on your side. Favor is on your side. Glory is on your side. The anointing of God is on your side. You have the Holy Ghost in you to be all that God wants you to be. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You are overcomers. Nothing will stop you. Nothing will limit your progress. Nothing will stop you. Nothing will limit your progress. You will shine as a light, as a bright and morning star. Your light has come. Your rising has come. Your glory has come. Your lifting has come. Your promotion has come.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.